Praise God. All right. Today, I want to talk to you about just the word distractions. And it goes right along with everything that's happened so far. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to Mark 4, 1 through 20. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. But I was looking at this verse, this passage, and believed that, you know, I was going to go teach on this, on the parable of the sower. But just when I was doing so, just the word distractions came to me. Distractions. That is, we're walking through life. We're constantly being pulled this way and that way. And the devil uses these things to try to pull us off course. To try to get us to be ineffective with what we're supposed to be doing, with what God Almighty has ordained us to do. Let's read through this passage. This is, a little bit longer, but we'll get some context here, and then we'll go from there. It's familiar, but let's read it. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and some birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Verse 10, "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven.'" Verse 13, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?'" Now here's where we get into his explanation of what he was talking about there in the parable. Verse 14, "The sower sows the word." So the seed is the word. That's what we're hearing right now, and this process is going on right now. The word's going forth. The seed's being scattered. So everything he's saying applies to us right now, at this very moment. Verse 15, "And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." Now, we're going to go through this and we'll come back. "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100." Now, like I said, right now the word's going forth. When you listen to somebody on a CD or an MP3, the word's going forth. When you read the word's going forth. When you speak out the word's going forth. The word goes forth in many ways. And when that happens, Satan operates according to this playbook right here. This is what he does. Now this will bring you answers. Let your heart, don't let this be simple. Don't let it be like, "I've heard the sower." Yes, I don't think we've exhausted everything in these passages of Scripture though, by a long shot. So just let your heart receive it. But Satan, we are not ignorant of his devices, God's told us how to deal with certain things. But if you look at every one of these things, they are some form of a distraction, either an immediate distraction or a long-term distraction. But eventually, something makes the word of none effect in our lives. Right. Now, the word is incorruptible. The word always produces in good ground. The word, there's nothing wrong with the word. The devil is after the word. Because he knows it will produce in our lives.
Right.
It will. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It will work for any person. But he has a tactic. He knows he can't defeat the word. So what's he going to do? Get the word out of where it would produce and change.
That's right.
Yeah. So what does he do? Verse 16 or 15. So verse 14 says, the sower sows the word. Like I said, this is happening. Here comes the word. Now, right now, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately. That means he's doing it right now. Right now. Right now. He's doing it. He's coming immediately. He comes through offense. He comes through distraction. Anything to get your head to turn this way. This happened, I heard a certain minister talk about this. He was this man, this young man that he had been trying to help and just had problems after problem and whatever. And they were evidently in a service together, and the person on the platform started to say some things that this minister knew exactly applied to this young man's life. And right at that point, the young man turned around, and there's some distraction or disturbance in the back of the auditorium. He turned around and started paying attention to that. And this minister that was relating the story said, you know, he wanted to say something to try to get the guy's attention, and the Spirit of God just said, no, watch this. Watch how this works. The young man was watching all this stuff and distracted and not paying attention. The minister is saying some things that apply directly to his life, his answers, the things he needs. And this went on. And then right about the time the minister stopped, the man turned around and started paying attention again. That happens over and over.
All the time.
Don't be distracted when the word's going forth.
That's good.
Be attentive. Be expecting. I know you can have a thought coming. Well, what are we going to do? You start thinking about, you know, lunch. Or you start thinking about what you're going to be doing. I'm telling you, a lot of those things are not by accident. Satan attacks our minds. You think it's, well, I ought to do this. He does it in the first person. He puts a thought in your head, and you're off thinking about that, and the word's going for something you need to hear, and you're thinking, I'm checking out for just a little bit, I'll come back, and you miss it. Immediately he comes to steal the word. That's like the first line of defense before it even hits your heart. But when it comes, and like he says, the word sown, it comes. He comes immediately. You think the first thought, I don't like the way that guy looks. I don't like his hair. Man, what is that on his suit? Same thing. Or you get, you know, you think, well, I don't know. That goes against something else. And you drop it. Boom, it's gone. It didn't get in. It didn't penetrate. You lost. It lost. The word fell on the wayside. What is that? It's a distraction. Distraction. Distracted. You know, you ever watch any sports? Somebody gets, they got their eye on the ball, but they get distracted and something, they blow a play, something happens. There's a, you know, camera flash, whatever, boom. Keep your eye on the ball. Well, it's the same thing for us. Let's keep our heart hooked up on the word. What's the word saying? And this doesn't just apply when we're talking about somebody listening to preaching. This is, the word comes. We're talking about this initial time here when the word's being sown and Satan's going to come right there if it's sown. Same thing. Man, I tell you, you listen to a CD and you're going down the road, and, you know, and something distracts you. You check out for a little while. You come back. I just kind of have it. If I find myself doing that, rewind. Rewind. It's a lot easier with CDs because I found that that'll happen. I'll miss it. And I'll think, you know, you kind of think you were engaged and I heard it, Man, I've gone, and sometimes it happens 3 or 4 times in a row. I'm serious. You know, it's like, okay, now I want to listen to this. I get distracted again. I mean, and I go back until I hear it, and I'm like, oh, man, that was good. I'm not saying every time. I'm saying it's a pattern. If he can get you right at the beginning, he doesn't have to mess with you down the line. The word's not going to do anything because you never heard it. How easy is that? Boom. Okay, I can go, you know, demon can take the week off because he didn't have to, you know, mess with you on Wednesday because you never got it in you on Sunday or whenever, you know? He does this. This isn't, you know, we're not just talking just to hear ourselves speak. This is what happens in the spiritual realm. Amen. All the time.
Amen.
Don't let it happen right now. Don't let it happen right now. Listen to the word. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Now listen. No, notice this. Verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately received it with gladness. So they heard it and they rejoice. They say, all right, that's an answer. I needed to hear that. All right, and excited, received it. So the first line of defense did not work. You got it. The hearer got it in his or her heart. Received it, said, that's it, man. I've been blessed. God, I've heard that. That's what I've been waiting for. That's the answer. Ooh, I'm excited. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones on stony ground who, when they received the word, immediately received it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they begin to stumble. So if Satan can't get it out of you immediately, you received it. He knows that. You say, this is the answer. So you start saying, my life's going to be different. It's going to be different now. I have the answer. I have the word. I'm going down. And then you hit a bump. You hit a hiccup. Your eyes on the word. You've heard it. Now some distraction happens. Something happens for the word's sake. He doesn't care a lick about you except the fact that you're carrying the word. If you're born again and spirit-filled, whatever, you know, if you're carrying the word, you do more damage to the kingdom of the enemy. He's going to get after the word. So what's he doing? He's going to go to play number two. Distract, get the word, get them to fumble. Couldn't get them, you know. They caught the ball. They're running with the ball. Knock it out, one way or another. So something happens because of the word's sake, and immediately tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they stumble. Boom. Boom. Stumble. It's gone. Take their eyes off the word, onto the persecution. Well, why is this going on? I thought I had my answer. Why is this happening in my life? What is God letting this happen? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. You're over here, and the word is not, you're not focused on the word anymore. Distraction. Distraction. Verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now notice, evidently heard it, evidently received it, evidently going with it to a degree. Okay, persecution can't knock you out with that, or something popping up, a little hill there. So, another distraction. The deceitfulness of riches. This world's goods. This world's system. Riches, money, nothing wrong with having money. Riches, it's just a means of exchange. It just is our life anyway. That's what we've said. Money represents your life, my life. You know, I go into an office 40 or so hours a week. They give me a paycheck. That represents those 40 hours a week that I'm spending there. It represents my life. Money is not our problem. Time is. If we had infinite time, we could have infinite money because we could put ourselves, you know, in 50 different jobs and have a salary for every one of them and make buku bucks. That's not a problem. It's time. We have precious little time here. So the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things.
Yes.
Choke the word. This happens. That we have to be just like bulldogs with the word. There, the word I've sown in my life, or it's been sown in my life, I will not be distracted. I'll shove, I'll push, I'm going to stay a hold of the word. Now, we are not talking about a system of works or things that we're just talking about, you just being so disciplined that you're going to do it. But there's nothing wrong with discipline. The devil will try to make sure you do. He'll entice you. Well, why don't you just sit? You know, you're so built up on the word, you don't need to actually study now or pray or whatever. Why don't you just do X?
Yeah.
And he knows you better than you know yourself, probably. He knows what's going to push your buttons and get you distracted.
Yeah.
Every one of us.
Yeah.
If he can't do it with certain things, he's going to do it with others. And I've been there. I'll just share with you where it felt like you feel like that is somehow works. Well, I don't want to make it a system that I have to do certain things in order to receive from God, because then that's making it my part. Well, okay, we don't do things to get something from God because he's paid for it. On the other hand, he's done all this, and the devil will do everything he can to make sure you don't partake of what has already been given to you.
That's right.
So when you're disciplined, when you're saying, I'm going to study, it's not buying anything with God. But it is changing us.
That's right.
You see the difference?
Yep.
But Satan is no fool. And if you felt beat down at times, he'll come to you saying, well, if you're just getting into a pattern of works, if you actually, you know, have a consistent time when you study or something, that's just works. That's not trusting the grace of God. That's nonsense. What, are we just supposed to sit back? Because what we do matters. I'm just going to sit back and do whatever, and then I'll just receive the same blessings as anybody else because Jesus has paid for it. That Jesus has paid for it, but we have to take it. And the devil's going to try to get in there and knock us out and try to get you your mind on other things so that you can't take it. And all the while telling you that you're actually being a better Christian because you're receiving and you're not working like other people.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie. That's right.
It's a lie. If he can't, he'll actually twist things that are good and make it so that you end up shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
Because what we do with our life does matter.
That's right.
What we do with our time does matter. Now, we don't trust in what we do. We don't say it's my blood, sweat, and tears that's got it, and because I've done this, then God has to come through, or because I've done this, then I am insured to be a success. No. But on the other hand, Paul said he labored more than anyone. He prayed in tongues more than anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
He put up with things left and right, and he didn't let it deter him. He got up and just kept on ticking. Boom, boom, boom. He just kept going.
Yeah.
And he did something. And there's a line there. There's a balance there. Okay? We don't cross over into, and I'm telling you, that's why we have to know the word. Because Satan he'll manipulate us, try to manipulate us and push us off into one way or the other. He'll try to get us off to where, you know, this line between, are you doing it or is God doing it?
Yeah.
Why don't you just let God work in your life? Well, God said, don't let other things choke the word. Did we not just read that?
Yeah.
So I'm honoring him when I do that. That's in the word. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she elbowed her way through. She got through to where I'm going to receive, come hell or high water, I'm pushing through, I'm getting it. You see the difference? There is a line. Believe me, I've been there where you feel like, I just don't, you're really, and this is the way Satan will work. Just like that word said, you start going down a path and you say, I'm going after the thing. I'm going after this. Man, I've had it with going up and down over here. I will do something. I will put this first. I will put the Word of God first in an area, whatever. I'm going to do this. You watch. There will be persecution or things happen because of that.
Yes.
Now listen up. Satan will come when stuff starts happening and that gets hard. He will come and make it seem like, well, you know, you're just trying too hard. You're trying to earn stuff anyway. You should just back off because you know the grace and of God is there anyway to you know, carry you anyway or whatever, and you'll just receive. He's setting you up. Why did it all of a sudden get tough when you went after the Word? What's he after? The Word. He's trying to knock it out of you. But he will tell you, you might as well back off because now you're into works. No, you're not. Works would be, I'm going to do a pattern and I'm going to trust on that. What I want to do is get this into me so I trust this. And I know I have an adversary and he's going to try to knock it loose. And I won't let him knock it loose because I know it's what will change my life. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
Or not? We're not saying anything. No, thank God that he has shed his blood and done everything. But otherwise, everybody would just have the same results. This would not say some 60 or some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. It said the Word was sown and everybody lived happily ever after.
Yeah.
What's the difference? What is happening here when the Word, stuff is coming for the Word, trying to knock the Word loose? The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, cares of this world. I got bills to pay. Stuff comes up. Well, I don't know. You know, there's this I got to do and this I got to do and all this stuff. It tries to squash the Word. Push it out to where it is of none effect. But what does the last verse say? 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the Word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We can be that way. And again, believe me. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yeah.
We are not saying anything against what God has done. I mean, like again, it's not a system of works. And I'm telling you, listen to me and listen to my heart right now, because if the enemy is trying to tell you that's works, it's not works. There's a line. Do you see the line? Are we communicating? There, it's not, because he'll use that to keep you right where you're at. If you could just do stuff, there are answers here. We don't sit back and just say, I'm just going to receive everything that God has provided for me. Well, how's that working? Or have you ever seen where you're just going to sit back? No, you start giving into your flesh. You start giving into your mind. What happens? It just gets stronger. And it chokes God's Word in us that wants to produce. There, discipline letting our heart dominate, telling our mind what to think, telling our body what to do, is not those aren't dirty words. Discipline or say, that's not a dirty, that does not equate with works. That does not equate with law. No. That means we are going, Paul said, I put my body under.
Come on.
I put my body under.
Yes.
Did he say it or not? Let's go over to, let's see if we have this on my sheet. I don't know that I do. I have several of these things. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. My margin is temperate, says exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now is that in the Bible or not? We just read it. Paul is saying, we are in a race. We're in a short race. I mean, it's a marathon from our perspective. Don't get me wrong. You don't run it like a sprint. But in the big scheme of things, it's over. Another one. Another one. Another one. People are going off into eternity. The race, over. And we're running in a race, and he's saying, run in such a way that you may obtain it. How is that, Paul? And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. We keep our bodies and our minds under, because Satan will use that to trip us up. He will. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man does sow what he reaps. Now, thank God for the precious blood of Jesus that can stop that, but that doesn't mean we give our bodies and our minds license to do certain things. If we do it, God doesn't have to do anything. Sin has its own punishment. The wages of sin is death. Amen?
Amen.
We're not talking about what God has done for us. If I'm yielding to Satan over here in this area of life, and then over here, I'm believing a certain thing with God, I have the authority over my life, and I'm saying, Satan, I'm going to yield to you over that way. I may not say it like that. I'm going to yield to you over here. I know this. I should not be doing this, but you know, it's not that big of a deal. He loves that. I'm not preaching this to condemn any of us. We're doing this to say, this is how he works. The enemy works. He is not stupid.
That's right.
In our natural intellect, he's smarter than any of us. Don't ever think he's not. He has been around for thousands of years. He knows men. You've taken personality tests. He knows everyone, like your personality, whatever list you use, whether you're yellow, blue, green, you know, sanguine, melancholy, DISC, whatever. He knows them. He knows them left to right. He knows what buttons to push. He can, in natural ability, knock anybody out. Intellectual, he's smarter than anybody. But in the spirit of the living of God, if we're in faith, now we're hooking up with God Almighty. God is smarter than the devil. God can outflank the devil anytime. And if we're listening to him, we'll just have the devil in fits, because he's trying to pull on our mind over here and our flesh over here and pushing all these buttons that have worked for thousands of years. But we say, nope, I think I'll agree with what the Word says, and I'm going to stay in the Word. He can't do anything with the Word. He has no answer to the Word. It is indefensible. When God tells us to do something and we believe him and we stay with him, devil cannot do anything. If we'll hold him in the realm of faith, we'll whip him every time. If he can hold us in the realm of reason and thinking and, you know, this realm, he'll destroy us. And how does he get into our lives? Through our minds and our bodies, through temptation.
Yes.
What does James say? This isn't on your scripture sheet. Let's go over to James. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We believe for utterance, unction. We believe for revelation.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Just stay hooked up.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's go to verse 12 of chapter 1, James. James chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.'" Don't ever say, "Well, God told me to do this and I'm doing it and it's getting hard. God, what are you thinking?" Devil, put that in your mind. I've been there. It's God's fault. If I weren't in this situation, if I weren't serving God, if I weren't doing this, I wouldn't have any problems. You think you wouldn't have any problems if you weren't serving God? How's the world doing? They don't have any problems? That's a lie. Problems, temptation are going to come to all of us because we live in a fallen world.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank God we have God Almighty on our side to get us through the temptations, and we'll win every time. But don't ever play this game that if you weren't serving God or you hadn't obeyed God, you wouldn't have no problems and your life would be, you know, flowery beds of ease. That's nonsense and that's a lie of the enemy to try to get you to what? Who's he impugning at this point? God and his character? What's he saying? Well, God's your problem. That's not true. He's our help. He's our answer. Yes, we live in a fallen world and stuff is messed up, but thank God we have Him to go through it and to bring us over in spite of it. Stuff is coming into our life. We need to look to Him and say, "God, what do we do about this? What's the battle plan? Show me the plan of action. We'll get through it."
That's right. It's good.
Amen? It's not time to say, "God, you got me into this mess." No, He didn't. No, He did not. He is just. He is faithful. He is true. He tried this trick from day one in the Garden of Eden.
That's right, that's right.
Did God really say that you couldn't touch that? You can't eat of it? What? Did God really say that? God's the problem. God's really trying to curb your fun. That is His tactic. It worked with Adam and Eve. It's working all the time today. God really say that? God really? What's He doing? He's attacking the Word. Well, you go and start acting like that and start putting those things into your life, you're not going to have any fun. Wrong. You're going to, the Word's going to sprout and give life and give fruit. He doesn't want the fruit. He doesn't want to see the Word producing in our life.
That's right.
So what does it say? Verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone."
That's right.
God is not our problem.
That's right.
I know we know that with our head, but some of us need to get it in our hearts and believe it when push comes to shove and our back's up against the wall. What's coming out of our mouth? What's coming into our mind? Reject it if it doesn't line up that God is a good God all the time. He's not my problem. God, what do we do here? I know you have your plan for me getting out of here. What do I do? I'm talking about in the dark hour. I know, I'm talking about where we meet life. The rubber meets the road right now. I'm talking about when there's nobody around and nobody to give a front to and there's bills to pay or stuff is in your body and it's screaming loud and you're tempted to give up on the Word and say the Word doesn't work or God is not faithful or whatever. I'm talking about when you're in the middle of your bedroom all alone and nobody else, maybe not even your spouse, knows what you're saying or thinking, and the devil is on your shoulder, screaming in your ear, saying, "God's not faithful." He won't use those words. He's not that stupid. He'll do it a different way. "Well, why the heck are you doing this?" I've heard those words. I know what he does. He's a liar. That's why we need to know, if we recognize it's anything impugning the voice, the character of God, we need to reject it. I don't care who's around, say, "No, that's a lie. The Word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Word says God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone." So we know the Word, we can quote it back to Him. Now, I'm not saying, "Well, I just don't know enough Word." No, we use the Word that we have. That's why we're getting more word. And it's not, don't play this game. Well, I just don't have enough faith. Just don't. No, I've been there. It's not a circle. The devil tried to get you there. So you're never good enough. No, you're good enough now.
Amen.
You're qualified now.
Amen.
By what Jesus said. But it's still, he's still going to fight with you. So if you find something, if you have a question, well, I don't know. What about this? I'm believing this, but I don't know about this. Get it answered. Well, so-and-so, I heard them say it, so that's good enough. Devil doesn't care who so-and-so said it. He doesn't care who preached it. If you don't know it in the Word, he'll come to you and say, well, what about that? And he knows the answer. He knows he's lying straight to your ear. He knows exactly what he's saying, but he'll say, well, what about that? You don't know about that. Go find it. Get your face solid. Go, nope, this, until you say, no, this is what the Word says on that. Then he says, well, yeah, but what about this? Ever thought about that? I don't know that that really applies. Do you ever thought about it? Well, yeah, you're right. I'm not sure about that. Don't say, no, but I believe. No, but I believe. If you don't believe, he already knows he has you. He already knows. And you know. If you don't know, if you're not sure, if you have a question, get it answered. If you have a question, that's one of the reasons I'm here for. I don't know everything, but if I know it, I'll help you. That's what a pastor is supposed to do. I'm serious. I've always endeavored when I've been on both sides of the fence. When I was sitting in Lincoln, Nebraska, man, I pulled on my pastor. My pastor Hagin, there in Oklahoma, that's my pastor. God's going to speak to me through my pastor. I'm going to listen. And if I have a question, I'm going to get an answer. And if he says something and my head's going, I don't know about that. I don't know if your doctrine's right or what. Well, give him the benefit of the doubt. Because the Satan will use that. And if you have a question, your pastor's the one that can walk you through something where you've heard a teaching, you've heard something, and you kind of know it, but you have some questions, and you just wish, name your favorite preacher, would address this question. You ever been there? Why can't you just, I just have the, oh, tape ended. You didn't address this. That's why you have somebody that knows you that can say, hey, what about this? And walk you through it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God, we were going somewhere before that, but God will not tempt us. And hallelujah, where were we? Thank God. We were talking about going out in the, when there's, push comes to shove. And God does not tempt you. That's why you need to know the Word. That's where I was. That's why you need to know the Word. And if you have a question about the Word, get it answered. Don't play a game, because Satan's not playing a game.
Right.
He's not playing a game. If you don't know and you heard somebody say something and you don't know about it, but you have a gap, get it answered so that you can go to the Word and say, it is written. And he throws another one at you, said, but it is written.
Yeah,
and then another one, but it is written, to where he doesn't, if he throws one through your wall, chink, you fill that thing. You find the Word to fill that. I don't know about that, but I'm going to find the answer. And you study it to where you can point to the Word. Not somebody's teaching, not somebody's book, not somebody's tape.
It's true.
Because the devil doesn't care about those things.
Amen.
This is the legal document.
Amen.
But so-and-so said, I don't care what so-and-so said. Anybody. Devil does not respond to what anybody said other than the Word of God. And he knows, I'm not doing this to put fear in you, this is just the fact, if he knows you don't know, he'll push you. And in that hour, when you're in your bedroom where there is nobody, there are no games being played at that point. If he can push you up against the wall to where you're breaking and he knows this fault line is in your belief system, he's going to push right there until it breaks. He will. He knows. So let's not play games. God has answers in his Word, period. But let's not play games that, well, I kind of know this, and I heard this teaching, so then I'm just going to go. That won't work. Okay, you may get some results at some times, but Satan's persistent, he'll come back.
That's right.
And he'll get you, and I'm not glorifying him. I'm just saying this is how our enemy works. Thank God we have a God that's infinitely bigger, and he's given us the tools, and that's what we're talking about, is the weapons of our warfare. If we know how he operates, he goes this way, we have a defense for that. He goes, "Listen, we have a defense for that. And our offense is the Word of God and the Spirit of the living God." And so get those chinks filled. If you have a question, find it in the Word to where you can say, "This is what God says. This is the results I'm getting, and I don't care. Take your best shot, buddy." I remember, you probably maybe heard this. Brother Hagin would tell the story. He was out in the East Coast somewhere, or the West Coast somewhere, Seattle, Oregon, somewhere. And there was some flu. This was, you know, 40s, 50s, somewhere in there. I don't know, long time ago. And there's some flu going around. Everybody's getting the flu. And, you know, he's having some meetings and morning meetings, and there was, like, hardly anybody there because everybody's staying away. They don't want to get the flu. Everything's closing down or whatever. And he has a few ministers after. I mean, I think there were six people at this service, including, like, the pastor and some other ministers that had showed up. And they're sitting there talking around afterwards. And he said, this one guy, they're starting to talk about the flu, and the one guy said, "Well, I better just go home, you know, get ready to have it because I know it's coming." This is a spirit-filled minister, and you know, just like, "Well, here it comes." And Brother Hagin said, "I'm not going to get the flu. That flu isn't coming on me." And the guy whispered, came over and said, "Don't you know the devil might hear you?" And Brother Hagin said, "That's the very dude I want to hear it.
That's right. Exactly.
I want him to hear it. Yeah. I'm not scared. I will not get the flu."
Amen.
Sometimes we kind of think, "Well, I hope the devil can go over here. I don't want to say that." No, when we know what the Word says, then we say, "Take your best shot, buddy.
Amen.
My defenses are ready." We don't have to talk to him like that. We just, you know, don't pay him any attention. But if he comes, say, "Is that all you got? Let's see what else you have." Because we didn't get to this, and maybe we'll get to it next time, because we are citizens of heaven. We are here for a short time. What's the best he could do? Kill us? Send us to glory and to heaven? Send us to be with Jesus? That's the best you have? What can he really do? "Well, I'm worried about my family," or "What are they going to do?" Well, just make sure they know God, because then what's he going to do? Kill them? Send you all to be with Jesus? That's not really so bad. It's not.
Amen.
It's not. Glory to God. I'm not saying we're going to die. I'm just saying don't be afraid of it. Because if you're afraid of it, you're going to act certain ways, you're going to do certain things, and you're going to be, you know, cowtail. You're going to let things into your life. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Praise God.